Let me hear. Thank you very much, and hello to everybody out in the audience. Connecting the light, I think we're going to be able to connect here because that sounds very resonant with the message I'm going to be talking about.
I think so, indeed. Now, something I always like to know, and I'm sure our listeners do as well, is how and when did your interest start in spiritual matters?
Oh, boy. You know, I get asked that all the time, and there's so many different ways I can answer it. But, you know, one of my favorite ways of answering it is I started picking up on these things when I was very, very, very young. We're talking about when I was a little boy. I just had the feeling when I looked out the window and when I just looked at the world and when I looked at, you know, how wonderful it is in the spring, like what we have right now here in Wisconsin, in the U.S., with the flowers blooming and the birds chirping and nature coming to life and the leaves and the sunshine and the clouds. I just had a feeling there was something out there that they weren't necessarily telling me about, that it was pretty, pretty wonderful. And I trusted that,
right.
even as a little boy looking at the clouds, I just said, wow, this is an amazing place, isn't it? I think that's where it all started. And I've just been building on that foundation ever since and overcoming a lot of the resistances that, the culture has placed in my way in terms of discovering those things and learning about those things. But so, you know, this has been a journey that's been going on for a while.
Right. Now, in the course of it, before you reached your present stage and writing books, etc., did you find your way to any other groups? I mean, did your quest for information and knowledge take you anywhere else? And if so, what was your biggest influence?
I have, Mike, I've had a very interesting journey as far as my own journey toward knowledge is concerned. Because over the last, I'm 60 years old, and I've been basically really pursuing these things seriously since I was in my early 20s. So we're talking 40 years here. And in my 40-year journey as far as not only being on the spiritual path, just being on the learning path, I've bounced all over the place. I've been on both extremes of the political spectrum. I've been into the transcendental spirituality scene. I've been all the way. I renounced all that for a while, a fairly short time ago, maybe 15 years ago. I really renounced spirituality for a while. I got into the Ayn Rand objectivism school. It's all about rational thinking, and they really poo-poo the whole spiritual thing. So I've really, really bounced around a lot. But I think I finally ended up, you know, where I really need to be, and that is, on the spiritual end of things. And as far as what we're going to be talking about today, and as far as what's happening now, I'd have to say the most important influence on me probably is Native American spirituality. That is something with which I really resonate, and any form or any indigenous form of spirituality. It doesn't have to be the Native Americans. It can be the Mayans, the Egyptians, the Hopis.
Yeah.
Any form of spirituality that derives its primary connection from nature, from the natural world, because that's where I get most of my... Everything plays out every day for all of us in nature. We can just see everything that we need to see, playing out every day.
Yeah.
And so the spiritual traditions that that work in that way tend to be the ones that touch my heart and touch my spirit.
Right. Do you find or believe that there is a God or an intelligence behind life and also a plan to it?
Absolutely. Absolutely, and I think any spiritual person would answer yes to that. I label it. My spirituality. I attempt to make it as universal as possible, as opposed to being in one particular dogma or in one particular belief system. And so, in terms of I'd like to call my God. I like to call it the divine spirit of a living universe. And I think just about any spiritual tradition can. Can appreciate that term and can understand that term and be okay with that term. And absolutely, I believe one of the hallmarks of any spiritual philosophy is that there is a divine plan. This is a divinely ordered universe. Everything happens for a reason. There is a divine plan, and if we don't understand it, I think it's incumbent, in any particular moment or in any particular situation, I think it's incumbent upon us to attempt to try to fit things into the divine plan in such a way that all makes sense. Everything, Mike, in the universe makes complete sense, and if we don't get it, it's just a question of us working to the point where we do get it.
Indeed, yes. Now, we don't hear a lot about this part of our life through the mainstream media. Do you think part of that reason is because the orthodox religious groups perhaps hold too much authority and they tend to block other philosophies or beliefs that may compete with their own?
I believe that they are one very powerful force, yes, that plays a part in that. And I certainly agree with you that we're not. I don't derive any of my knowledge or information from the mainstream system. I basically don't pay any attention to it anymore. I don't watch television. When I read the newspapers, it's just the sports section. I glance at the headlines, and you know, I get a sense of what's going on. But there's nothing new in that arena for me anymore. But I'd like to add, in terms of the established religious systems, the big, powerful established religious systems, such as Catholicism, you know, emanating from Rome and those sorts of things. In addition to forces like that that tend to put up some resistance and influence the media in terms of not getting all this information out there, I think it's a lot broader than that in terms of how our information gets blocked. And in this sense, and I'm going to just come right out and say this, because for many years I needed to tiptoe around this, because I knew that when I talked about it, I was stepping on people's toes, and oftentimes people didn't want to hear it. But I'm a conspiracy guy. I really do believe that there's definitely a behind the scenes power system in place, and the established religious powers are part of that, but it certainly goes way beyond them. There's a very small group at the top of the pyramid of power who are operating behind the scenes and who are basically controlling the show, and who are very, very invested in cutting us off from any kind of information that will allow us to connect with our, you know, multidimensional spirituality and our multidimensional powers. Because as soon as we connect with that multidimensional spirituality, as soon as enough of us do, we would not allow them to play this game anymore. We would just eliminate them, basically, in terms of we would eliminate their power anyway. So I think it goes a lot. I think it's a lot bigger than established religion, there are many other factors involved in this whole thing. I'd be happy to talk more about that if you like. But I'm a conspiracy guy. There's definitely something going on behind the scenes, and I think it's important for us to understand how all that works without. Without getting overly stuck in it. A lot of people who study those things and read those things and believe in those things end up just getting very frightened of the whole thing, and they end up getting obsessed by it, and they end up feeling the whole thing is hopeless, and, you know, how can we overcome something that big and those sorts of things. And I certainly don't ascribe to any of that. I think once we learn how the system works, it's incumbent upon us to be aware of it so we don't get stuck in it, and then detach ourselves from it and focus on what's really important, and that's the power of our higher consciousness and spirituality.
Yeah. Well, I totally believe with your sentiments there, because I'm also a conspiracy believer, and I have to feel that if I said to you, do you think there is a group called the Illuminati behind the dark forces, I suspect you would agree.
I would say yes, and very often it's just a question of what you choose to call it. The Illuminati is one label, the global elite is another label. Sometimes I like to refer to them just as the dark side, because certainly it does amount to that. These are folks or beings who are not doing nice things. I mean, their agenda is not in the best interest of the human race. So the hidden powers that own and control the world, I think that's the one that I like to throw out there. But the answer is yes, I believe in that.
Yes, so do I.
And I'm really glad, Mike, that I'm not going to have to tiptoe around that with you today also in terms of so often, as soon as you get into the conspiracy thing, so many of the new agers just check out on you. They don't want to hear it. They don't want to talk about it, because somehow they've gotten it into their heads. And I think this is one area where the brainwashing is really working. I think they've got it into their heads that they're not supposed to talk about it. They're not supposed to even think about it, because when they do that, they tend to empower it. And I really think that's a bunch of baloney. And whenever I hear that, whenever I hear somebody say, oh, Jack, you're not supposed to talk about that stuff, because when you talk about it, you empower it, the first thing that enters my head is, boy, they have really gotten into your heads, haven't they? And if that's, if that's the, and I have to say, job well done, it's working. No, we need to be aware of these things, and once we're aware of it, we just need to detach from it and focus on what matters, and that's our spirituality, because that's where our power is.
The only thing I would say in that connection is that I do believe, as per the book The Secret, that what we put our focus on, even if it be something that is negative, through the laws of attraction, we tend to attract it to ourselves. So from that point of view, I can see that some people would not want to focus on it too much. But you have to be aware of what is going on in the world to be able to deal with it.
Yeah, and I think we can be aware of these things without being overly, you know, without being overly preoccupied with it or without getting stuck in it. I mean, I'm aware of these things, but I really don't pay much attention to it anymore. I'm focused on my own personal, you know, spiritual ascension process and that of others too, and getting the message out there about that, and getting the message out there about the Illuminati and the New World Order is a small part of that, but certainly there's so much more to it. And I highly, highly encourage that once people learn this, very often when people learn these things, you know, they flip out. It blows people's circuits, you know, when they find out they've been, you know, conned their whole life.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, part of my message is, you know, it's necessary to be aware of it and to, you know, to deal with your own fear in relationship to it. But then at that point, you just need to get detached from it and focus on what's really important and where the main focus should be, and that's on our higher consciousness and spirituality. As long as we're focused there, we have an awareness of this other stuff, then I don't believe, Mike, that I give it one shred of my power. Talk about it and I do think about it, but I don't give it any power whatsoever.
No, I agree entirely. Would you say then that the dark side is like the beings or the people on this earth that belong to the Illuminati, or does it go further than that? Is there a negative energy around us, or perhaps in the solar system or the universe, that is affecting us?
Mike, that's probably one of the most intriguing metaphysical questions that there is. And the intriguing metaphysical question is, you know, if there is something evil or dark or negative out there, what is the source of that? Where does it come from? You know, if indeed the divine spirit is the creator of, you know, of everything in the universe, but, you know, why is it that the divine spirit creates this evil or whatever we call it? And what place does it have? What place does it have in, you know, in the scheme of everything? And I think it all comes down to this. It all comes down to when the divine spirit created this wonderful universe that has been created. The divine spirit also blessed us with something called free will or freedom of choice.
Absolutely.
And that's a part of this whole thing. And as long as there is free will and freedom of choice out there, that means that every being and every entity in the universe has the choice to go contrary to the divine plan. And certainly, you know, many, many beings and many, many humans, you know, have made that choice to go contrary to the divine plan, some with full awareness that they're doing it and some without even being aware of the fact that they're doing it. So I think this is something that we need to, you know, we need to be aware of this. We need to be aware that it is out there. And so that's one of the ways that I address that. And I think that's one of the most challenging metaphysical questions there is surrounding the whole question of evil and, you know, what purpose does it serve?
Yeah.
Another way that I like to address that question is just in understanding how all these things work is, one of the reasons I see it as dark or negative as evil or evil is because clearly what we're talking about here, these forces we're talking about here, are forces that do not have my higher consciousness and my spirituality. They're not invested in helping me in any way with that. As a matter of fact, their investment is primarily in hindering me in that, and not only hindering me in that, but hindering all of us in that.
Mm.
And anytime anybody tries to hinder me in any way, in terms of either depriving me of knowledge or, you know, cutting me off from my source of my higher wisdom and higher spirituality, that's something I call that evil. You know, those people, if they don't like what I'm doing or what I'm thinking, just leave me alone. You know, don't try to control me. Don't try to trick me into giving up my freedom and giving up my spirit. And what's going on the planet Earth right now is that there is this very insidious game being played in which we, the human beings of the planet Earth, there is this game being played, the purpose of which is to attempt to trick us into giving up our freedom and giving up our spirit. It's the age-old pact with the devil, basically. That's what it is. And once again, it's important for us to be aware of that and not to get, not to get sucked into it, not to play the game.
Absolutely. I mean, if you just stuck your head in the ground and ignored all of these things, that to me would mean you were not taking any action to try and balance them. But something that I found a very good explanation for what we call the evil or the dark energies that satisfied me was the statement that the dark is the wrong use of light. So in other words, the God force around us is absolutely positive, but if people want to use it for the wrong things, then they can, and then we tend to call it evil.
Mm-hmm. And I would also say that...
Yes, carry on.
I'm sorry. I would also say that, yes, I agree with that. And I think, you know, clearly what they're doing is they're kind of going against, going against the light, shall we say, or going against the divine plan.
Yes,
and because, you know, free will and freedom of choice exists, you know, they have every right to do that. And it would appear as though they've been doing a pretty good job of it here on the planet Earth for the last 6,000 years at least.
Yeah.
And they're getting away with it. Basically, there are dark spirits and there are light spirits. And I'm very much of the belief that the dark spirits have been in charge of the planet Earth for quite a long time now, 6,000 years at least. However, I believe, Mike, that one can make the choice to go against the divine plan, and it can work for a while. Ultimately, though, it's not going to work. I don't think they can get away with it forever, because I think that's how divine law works. The only thing that really works in the universe is, you know, harmonizing with the divine plan, as opposed to trying to change it or trying to recreate it. So you can get away with it for a while, but eventually they're going to have to pay their own dues. Maybe it might not be on the planet Earth. I mean, I do believe that we're gonna win this battle and we're gonna take back this planet and all that. But you can even make the case that if they get away with it on the planet Earth, they're not gonna get away with it, you know, in the long run or wherever else they may try to do it.
No. Do you believe that this cycle that we're in, and we're really getting a bit nearer to the subject of your book? That is 2012, which is said to be the end of this cycle and the beginning of something new. Do you think that it is a cycle, as some people call it, of duality, and this is, in fact, the end times, and what we're seeing now is a very big program of cleansing?
I agree with virtually everything that you just said, and I could only the only way I could reply to it would be just to elaborate upon it a bit.
Yes, yes.
Absolutely, I agree with all of that. One of the things that I'd like to throw in, though, may I just talk about the shift for a bit, Mike, in terms of my own particular, you know, read on it, because my book is entitled "Infinity's Flower: A Tale of 2012 and the Great Shift of the Ages," and.
Yes.
It's important for me to tell people what I mean by the shift, because, you know, different people hear different things, and a lot of people have a lot of ideas about the shift, and so if we don't say what we mean, then you know, we run the risk of having some confusion. Whenever I talk about this, I like to encourage people to, at least while they're listening to what we're talking about here today, to try to wipe the slate clean, if they will, in terms of their own understanding of this. And to kind of look at it with fresh eyes, because there's so much disinformation out there. There's so much garbage out there about this whole topic of the shift in 2012 and the Mayan calendar. And people get a lot of cockamamie ideas in their head about what it all means. One of them is doomsday. You know, this is the end of the world. And a lot of other cockamamie ideas. And one of the things that I so often hear is, an example of the distortion that's involved here. What the shift is all about is that the Mayan calendar ended on December 21st, 2012. And people interpret that meant that the Mayans were prophesizing that this meant the end of the world.
Yeah,
So people say, well, okay, December 21st, 2012 is going to be the end of the world. And then they hear this thing about, you know, the shifting of the north-south electromagnetic poles. So at midnight on the 21st in December 2012, the poles are going to shift and everything's going to fall apart and we're all going to die. Well, that's the kind of stuff that I really would like to try to dispel in terms of those kinds of images and those kinds of thoughts as far as how all this works. And I also like to suggest that people really, when they hear this topic and when they listen to the kinds of things we're talking about, that they just relax and breathe and just absorb what it is we're talking about, because people get really afraid on this topic. And one of the reasons they get afraid is we are talking about monumental change. And we're talking about living in an age of changing or shifting from an old paradigm to a new paradigm, and monumental change from one world to another. So it's really, really, really big. And as you know, Mike, change scares the living bejudas out of most people. Most people just don't want to change. And anytime they're confronted with it, you know, they tend to flip out a little bit. So one of my messages has to do with this monumental change, but I want people, rather than just instinctively reacting to fear, reacting with fear, for them to get all the information, for them to think about this, and to see that ultimately what we're talking about here is we're talking about an extremely, extremely monumental opportunity for us, the human race, to get it right this time. And we haven't done very well at getting it right for the last at least 6,000 years. What we mean by the shift is we mean a shifting of the Earth's vital energy fields as a function of this 26,000-year cycle that we're in the midst of. The cycle is a function of the Earth and the rest of our solar system taking this journey, cyclical journey through the galaxy that it takes. It's a 26,000-year cyclical journey. We've gotten to the point where we're at the end of the cycle once again, which means that the beginning of the new cycle is beckoning. This is something that I think was best understood, once again, by our indigenous cultures all around the planet, plus the Native Americans and the Mayans and the Hopis. They all understood these things very, very clearly. They understood these cycles. They understood how all these things work. And they were indeed prophesizing this for this time on the basis of their observations of how these things have worked in the past. And there were people around 26,000 years ago, the last time this happened. And there were people or folks or entities around 26,000 years before that when this happened, the time before that. So there are records of these things, at least very often the records are in the form of verbal lore and those sorts of things. But there are there are people who know these things. And the other thing that's so important for people to know about the shift is the Mayans were, there's such an obsession with the Mayan calendar and solstice 2012. There's a real obsession with that date right now, and again, a tremendous misunderstanding about that date. It's my understanding that the Mayans really were the only ones that had a specific date. That specific date is open to lots of different kinds of interpretation in terms of what it means, and even the accuracy of it. There's all kinds of windows of error involved in all this. Virtually everything I've heard from virtually all of the other prophecies, and there are many, many other prophecies from many, many indigenous cultures, the Mayans were not the only ones. There's a lot of other ancient indigenous cultures that had a lot of messages for us about these same things. And what I'm hearing from virtually all of them is that they weren't referring to any particular date, but they were referring to this time in general. And they were referring to a window of time around 2012. We have no idea how big the window is. Some people think it's as much as 50 years on either side. And I'm open-minded to all these possibilities. And they were also viewing the shift and telling us about the shift as more of a gradual process. I absolutely endorse that. And the other thing I think it's important to put in here, as long as we're talking about this, is it's also very, very clear that the shift has already started. It's already happening. It's happening now. We are, if indeed this is all a function of the Earth entering a great cosmic energy field, which I believe it is, we've already entered the field. It's already happening. We can see it happening in our world. And we can not only see it happening in our world in terms of a lot of the old paradigm changes. You know, the old paradigm is suffering right now, and it's dying, basically. But we, and particularly we as spiritual people, we can feel these things. I know that you, Mike, and every other person who's plugged in to the forces in the universe and to what's happening around us energetically, we can all feel that something absolutely incredible is happening right now energetically. Yeah. And we're not only dealing with increasing energy, but we're dealing with energy that's increasing in frequency and doing so at an accelerating rate. This thing is speeding up as we continue to move into this energy field we're talking about. So there's just a little bit about the shift in a nutshell here, and I don't want to be talking too much here, but just to give people a little bit of a flavor, the shifting of the Earth's vital energy fields is one thing people need to hear, and they also need to hear that it's already happening, it's happening now, so let's not get too obsessed over any particular dates, because in that context, the only date that really matters is today.
Yeah. Well, what I have read about December the 21st, 2012, is that there is an unusual alignment with the central sun, and I believe it is felt that we have already entered the photon belt which is a very high energy, and the subsequent result of that is a big upliftment in our consciousness at that point. But as you've said, of course, that isn't the end of it. It's an ongoing ascension, if that's the right word to use.
Yes, I agree with all that. And as far as let me just comment upon the astronomical or the astrological aspect of this in terms of the astronomical alignment. I have a dear friend who is, her name is Kaylin Castell. She's the co-founder of the Shamanic Astrology Mystery School here in the U.S. She lives in Arizona. And Kaylin's been educating me quite a bit about this astronomical alignment, and I've been learning about that. And what I'm learning on the basis of this is the alignment that is currently in place is also an alignment that is in place within 1 degree for 144 years. So once again, we're dealing with an alignment that's in place for a long time on both sides of solstice to 2012. Mm. And I think that's a very important feature of this. And even when you begin to refine this alignment more and more, you begin to look at it closer and closer in terms of the alignment being really, you know, direct or perfect or perfectly in alignment.
Yes.
The thing that Kaylin tells me is that what this all means is that now, I'm not an astrologer, and I may get parts of this wrong, but the alignment that's in place right now is that the Earth and the Sun are in alignment with galactic center at winter solstice on 2012. So on 2012, there's an alignment with the Earth and the Sun with galactic center on December 12, 2012. And this is where the alignment gets really pure and it gets really, you know, perfectly aligned. However, this alignment is also true for numerous other solstices on both sides of 2012. And here I don't have the precise knowledge here, but I think it's like 8 solstices before 2012, and they're not even sure how many solstices on the other side of 2012, because there's parts of this that are difficult to even figure at this point. So once again, we have evidence on the basis of the astronomical and astrological alignments as this being more of a window of time and more of a gradual process, as opposed to that one big, you know, the big bang, you know, bingo point. It all happening at once. Hey, Mike, you know, if all this was to happen all at once, you know, at midnight on December 21st, 2012, I would suggest that would be something that people should be afraid of, because we're talking about an awful lot happening all in one moment. And if all of this is going to happen in one moment, then, you know, we better brace ourselves for something. But, you know, I don't believe that's the way it's going to work. The point I'm making? If all this is going to happen in one moment, man, that's going to be a big moment. Woo!
Yes. I agree with you there. I mean, you've already mentioned that the shift is already happening anyway, so it's not as though it is only going to happen at that precise time at midnight on that date.
Right.
Now,
yep. I'm sorry, go ahead.
You've been expressing your views of the shift. I understand that you also are conversant with the version given in the Reader's Digest. How does that differ, if at all, with your own beliefs?
Oh, no, well, no, I think you may have misunderstood something there.
Have I?
I think what I was referring to was the Reader's Digest version of the shift.
Yes,
which is,
yes.
Well, that's just an expression. The Reader's Digest version means the condensed version or the short version. And I pretty much gave you that. I pretty much gave you that when I. No, I don't think Reader's Digest has much to do with this. I don't think Reader's Digest cares a whole lot for a lot of these metaphysical kinds of things.
I thought that was another version that you might have been interested in to talk about, but that's fine.
Let me reply to that, though, Mike, because, you know, there are an awful lot of versions to this. And the more you look into it, I mean, everybody, there's different dates and there's all these things are going to happen, and there's people who are, you know, researching, you know, what's going to be above water, what's going to be below water, where should we go move? There's all these different versions and all this different stuff. I have gotten to the point in my own journey in relationship to the shift where I really don't pay too much attention to particulars anymore. Because it's just such a sea that we can get lost in as far as all the possibilities that are out there. And I think once we get it into our heads that, let me give you a mantra here, Mike, that I find very, very helpful as far as people get very frightened of this. They get very overwhelmed by this because we're talking about very monumental earth changes. We're talking about very monumental paradigm shifts. And in relationship to that, I just want to share a mantra that I find very valuable. If people don't remember anything I say here today, remember what I'm about to say, and that's this. In the face of these monumental earth changes, in the face of these monumental paradigm shifts, the primary source of our power, let me just switch that around. The primary source of our protection in the face of these things, the primary source of our power to create the new world of light and spirit is our higher consciousness and spirituality. I really don't think people need to know a whole lot more than that. As far as the specific earth changes, as far as the specific paradigm shifts, what's going to be above water, what's going to be below water, I really don't think it makes any difference. Because what matters is that people get plugged into where's our protection, where's our power, and let's focus there.
Yes, I agree. What you're saying is, I think that people get involved too much in perhaps the detail when what they should be looking at is the end result.
And I've noticed, too, and I don't know if you've noticed, that it seems to me that most of the people who are really obsessed with the detail are the ones who are the ones who tend to get very frightened and are the ones who tend to fall into a lot of these doomsday scenarios. In other words, the more they get into all that detail, the more they tend to say, we're screwed. And that certainly is not, I certainly don't want to convey that message even a little bit.
No. But what do we know about the shift from a scientific point of view?
Well, there's all kinds of goodies there. Let's start with a few things that scientifically that we know about the shift. One thing from a scientific point of view is when we say, well, what's some of the evidence for the shift? How do we know there's a shift and you know, what's it all about? One of the most obvious examples of the fact that things are shifting and shifting now is global warming. Now, I know there's a lot of debate and controversy about global warming and there really can be no debate that the Earth is warming up. It seems to me that the primary debate is over to what degree the warming up is due to human beings, burning fossil fuels, and to what degree this warming up is a result of some kind of natural cycle. Now, on the basis of what I've learned in this area, it's pretty clear that 99.9% of global warming is due to this natural cycle we're talking about and is due to the Earth entering this energy field or photon belt, as you called it, and I also use that phrase, so I'll continue to use it here today, is a result of the Earth entering this photon belt. Now, the reason that we know that global warming isn't due to human beings burning fossil fuels is because the Earth isn't the only place warming up. The sun is warming up. All the other planets are warming up. Our entire solar system is warming up. And again, this is a function of the higher energy of the photon belt, which we have already entered. There's one scientific aspect. Let me give you another one. Another one has to do with the Earth's electromagnetic fields. Now, we've all heard that one of the possibilities that we're told about in relationship to the shift is the shifting of the north-south electromagnetic poles.
Yeah.
And I believe that's where the term the shift came from. And I'm not a scientist, I'm not an expert on electromagnetism or anything like that, but as I understand it, this is how electromagnetism works. By the way, electromagnetism is also something that we still understand so little about, but my understanding of how electromagnetism works is it does tend to wiggle around a little bit, and then periodically, on a regular cyclical basis, any physical body's electromagnetic polarities will shift poles. That's part of just the natural way that the natural functioning of electromagnetism. We are also being told by many scientists who study these things, and most of these scientists are new scientists because this really isn't the kind of stuff, again, you're going to hear in the mainstream. We're being told that we are on the verge of this kind of a shift, of a shifting of the north-south electromagnetic poles. Now, again, that's something that as far as how close we are to that and all those sorts of things, we really don't know because we are in such, you know, uncharted territory here. We've never been through a pole shift before, so, you know, this is basically something about which we don't know very much. But one of the things we do know about electromagnetism right now is that the Earth's electromagnetic poles or the Earth's electromagnetic fields are diminishing in intensity. and they're diminishing in intensity at an accelerating rate. Now, this is nothing new. This has been going on for about 2,000 years, is what I'm told. But what's unique about our time is that the Earth's electromagnetic energy is getting very, very weak, and there are those who say it is approaching zero. And this is where Greg Braden termed the point zero point. Now, if and when the Earth's electromagnetic energy, you know, hits zero, many are saying that that would be the point at which there may be some kind of a pole shift or something like that. But the significant feature of this is the weakening of the Earth's electromagnetic fields, the weakening of it at an accelerating rate. It's becoming very, very weak. I mean, all of this is consistent, again, from a scientific point of view, of some kind of a shift, going on here. So, there would be another scientific aspect, and there are others. I don't want to go off into too much of one aspect of this topic here, but there are also other examples of scientific aspects of this that are pretty easy to approve and understand.
Right. So I believe what you're saying here is that a pole shift wouldn't actually have any adverse effect on us. But if it was an axis tilt, that would cause a lot of land changes, etc., and that could possibly be harmful to the population. Would that be a correct assessment?
Well, I think I'm of the opinion if there was a complete pole shift and if it was to happen, quickly. I think that would have a very, very dramatic effect. And I think, again, my understanding of it is that the effect it would have is it would have a very dramatic effect upon our infrastructure in terms of a technological infrastructure. But again, as far as the pole shift is concerned, because we don't really know that much about this, we're in such uncharted territory here. Mm-hmm. We don't really know. There are a lot of possibilities as far as the pole shift is concerned. Maybe the pole shift on this massive a scale would be more of a gradual process. Maybe the pole shift would be a partial process. There's a lot of different possibilities here. None of which we really know for sure.
Right.
Let me say one thing, Mike, about the whole adverse effect that a lot of this would have upon the human race. Because this is such an important part of this, and this is where I coined my phrase, transforming challenges into blessings. Because it does indeed appear as though we, the human race, are going to be in for a very, very significant challenge in the face of all this. There are those who believe that that the shift is just going to happen, and it's just going to happen all by itself, and it's going to be easy, and we're all going to wake up on December 22nd, 2012, and the world's going to be different, and it's all going to be wonderful. I don't believe that's how it's going to happen, and I don't believe that certainly that's not the message that the prophecies have for us. The prophecies have for us, yes, we are in store for some massive earth changes, we are in store for some massive paradigm shifts, and that this will be a significant challenge to the human beings of the planet if we are indeed to create the new world of light and spirit. But what people need to know is there's a very important distinction to be made here, and that's this. If we get this right, let's call ourselves light workers here. If we light workers get this right, one of the things that means is we're basically dealing with a higher energy field, and it's an energy field that's increasing in frequency at an increasing rate. What it's necessary for us to do then, in terms of the, people say, well, what can we do about this? What it's necessary for us to do, in a spiritual sense, it's necessary for us as individuals and as a collective, it's necessary for us then, spiritually, to raise our frequencies. To raise our frequencies so that we are in resonance or in harmony with these raising frequencies that we have in the world around us. Now, once again, this is one of the things that the Native Americans and the indigenous cultures told us again and again and again. They said the reason the white man's world is not going to cannot sustain itself is because the white man has lost his connection with how to resonate with nature, how to resonate with the natural rhythms and flows of life. Mm-hmm. That the white man has forgotten how has become unplugged in a sense from his connection with life's vital energy. So what it's necessary for us to do here, it's necessary for us to get plugged in again, it's necessary for us to reharmonize, if you will, with these forces that we're dealing with. We could talk specifically about how to do that in a little bit, if you like. Those of us that are in harmony, those of us who are in resonance, and here's the message about our protection, here's the message about our power. Those of us who are in resonance, those of us who are in harmony with these shifting energies, we're going to be fine. Because we're back in harmony, we're back in the flow.
Yeah.
It also needs to be said that those people, and there's lots of them, and you can see this happening in the world today, those people who are in disharmony with these energies, those people who are clinging to the old paradigm energies, who refuse to let go, who don't want that world to go away, these people could be in for a rough time, because anytime you cling to destructive energies, bad things can tend to happen. So what we're looking at, a very significant possibility here, that a lot of people could be in for a rough time here, could be in for a very rough ride here. A lot of people may not make it. But once again, I don't intend for this to be a negative message or anything. It's basically a choice that they're making. And we light workers who do get it, it's incumbent upon us to attempt to educate these people as much as we possibly can about what's going on here. And if they choose, as you know, Mike, we can only help people who are willing to help themselves. And sometimes it's a sad thing, but that's the way it works.
Yeah.
So anyway, there's a little bit about that aspect of things.
Those
who resonate with these energies, that's what the prophecy said. That's what it's incumbent upon us to do. Those who resist these shifting energies, they're going to have a real tough time of it. And, that's, it's not a pretty picture in that regard, but, that's the way it is.
Yeah. It's quite a coincidence that you've come on to this particular aspect, because my very next question is going to ask you about your idea of reconnecting people with life's vital energy. But I wanted to ask you, what exactly is life's vital energy?
Oh, gee, Mike, I don't know.
I'm
serious. I mean, that's like the question of all questions. And let me just answer your question by citing, one of the most important influences on my work. One of the most important influences on my work was Don Juan from the Carlos Castaneda books. Don Juan, who was the Indian man of knowledge down in the southwest United States and Mexico. He was a sorcerer who taught Carlos his system of sorcery. And one of the things that Don Juan kept telling Carlos again and again and again, Carlos was a very logical, left brain Westerner who needed proof for everything, and he was always asking Carlos, well, how can you prove this, and what's the explanation, and how can you prove these things in a laboratory, this and that. And Don Juan always told him the same thing. He said, look, there are just some things that we just don't know, we just can't understand with our rational thought process. It's beyond our rational thought process. We can beat our heads against the wall, as much as we want to, but our reason is just going to butt up against the wall, and there's a point beyond which, we just can't go. In other words, on that basis, these are things that we really will never understand. However, as spiritual things, we cannot understand something rationally, and yet we can totally understand it spiritually. We can totally understand it on the basis of what our heart feels and what our spirit feels.
Yeah.
And that's what spirituality all comes back to. You ask a spiritual person, one of my favorite things from Don Juan, just to illustrate this, Don Juan had a concept from his metaphysics that he called seeing. And Carlos would always say, well, how do you know these things? None of it makes sense. It's all so crazy. How do you know these things? And Don Juan always answered that by saying, I know these things, and the sorcerers of my lineage know these things because we see them, period. And what he meant by that is, in altered states of consciousness, the sorcerers of ancient Mexico actually were able to have out-of-body-like experiences, where they actually saw the energy in the as it moved directly in the universe, and they were actually able to blend with that energy, unify with that energy, become a part of that energy, which is one of the things that gave them their incredible powers that we would call magic or sorcery or something that defied linear cause and effect kinds of rules. So he said, we know these things because we see them, period. And I think for most spiritual people, I think that's the answer to the question. How do you know about the divine spirit? How do you know about this vital energy? Well, Mike, I know it because I see it. And I'm not dodging the question, because I think essentially it, that's what it comes back to. We as spiritual people know people simply because, or know things simply because we know them. Like me and the little four-year-old boy I was talking about, looking out the window going, wow, I know these things.
Yes.
And I had no mental apparatus to understand those things at all.
No. So are you saying that, and this is probably what you are teaching, is that when we can connect with the flow and rhythm of life, that is when we are flowing with life cycle energy?
Absolutely. Absolutely. May I also just answer like one final question that really always needs to be answered when people say, you know, you talk about connecting with life's vital energy and you talk about the power and protection of our higher consciousness and spirituality. Well, you know, what do you mean? That sounds kind of vague. You know, how actually can we do that? And let me be real specific about how we do that. And this, again, is one of those things, and you're going to know, as soon as you hear me say this, Mike, you're going to know that this is true.
Yeah.
One of the things that virtually every spiritual tradition that's worth its salt has agreed upon for thousands and thousands and thousands of years is that human beings are at their spiritual peak, are at their most powerful spiritually, when they're in a certain state of being or in a certain state of feeling. And as spiritual people, we always want to strive for that state. And specifically, the state is one, it's related to how we experience life, how we experience this world. And this peak spiritual state we're talking about is a state in which we experience life with feelings of peacefulness, joy, and love.
Yes.
And again, every spiritual tradition on earth is going to agree with that. That is when we are at our spiritual peak. And when we can get to that point, and when we can really ascend to that point, in other words, when we can feel 100% peaceful, calm, relaxed, 100% joyful, 100% loving, at that point we become different, and at that point we become capable of absolutely unimaginable achievements.
Yes, indeed.
And it's at that point, people say, well, how can you overcome all these earth changes and continents sinking and floods and pole shifts? And how, you know, we're just, you know, tiny little, you know, specks, you know, we'll just all drown in that. How can you know, how can we overcome that? How can we deal with that? Well, the answer to that is we can deal with that because as a function of this spiritual ascension and fulfillment process, we're going to be different. We're going to be more powerful. We're going to be above it all, if you will. And that's really the key to it all.
Right. Now, Jack, we're rapidly getting to the last few minutes of the program. I'd like to give you a couple of minutes to tell us about your novel. I'm guessing, and you're going to tell me if I'm correct here, that what you've been talking about is given out in the form of a novel. You've incorporated all of your spiritual knowledge and understanding into it. How do you do it in the sense, have you got a main character who is taking a spiritual path or a travel through life in which you're able to explain all these things? Perhaps you could tell us a little bit about it.
Sure, I'd be happy to. First of all, I know we're running out of time here. Let me just say that I think you've really done a wonderful job here today because we really are, we really are hitting on everything. This is a massive topic. I mean, you can do a weekend seminar on this topic. And I think you've done a really good job today of kind of steering this around and making sure that we cover, you know, what we really need to cover here. And I think we're doing an excellent job. So I commend you on that.
Thank you.
You know, a lot of people think because it's a novel, therefore, there's a tremendous prejudice against fiction in today's world. And I've had, you know, people who've refused, to have me on their radio program and stuff like that. And they say, well, we just don't deal with fiction. You know, we want to deal with, you know, the sources. You know, we want to deal with, you know, because fiction is somehow viewed as it's imaginary or it's a fantasy or it's make-believe or something like that. What a bunch of garbage that is. I could just start rattling off novels that have changed, you know, message-driven novels that have changed the course of the planet Earth. I can just start rattling them off, and I can go for 10 minutes. So just because it's fiction doesn't mean it's fiction based on fact. And I've always believed, because I enjoy reading fiction, that fiction is a wonderful, wonderful way to learn, because you know, not only are you learning important things, but you're also being entertained in the process, and you're also feeling the experience of it. As opposed to just reading it in a textbook, you're feeling the experience of it, you know, through the characters and those sorts of things. So it becomes more of a complete picture. But yes, I have two main characters in my book, David and Kelly, who are remarkably spiritually transcended characters. The novel takes place in the year 2011, and many, many New World Order kinds of things have already happened on the planet. David and Kelly have had to go underground, so to speak, because they know too much, and they're kind of in danger, you know, from the powers that be. Right. And they're living on an Indian reservation in South Dakota in the U.S., and they're visited one night by a light traveler from South America who visits them in their little cabin out in the wilderness and takes them on a light journey back to their village in South America and basically gives them some guidance in terms of, you know, what they're to do next and where they're to go. And you know, they understand all the stuff about the shift and what's happening. And then on that basis, they follow the guidance and they go back into the world it's an incredible adventure that they go through, and ultimately they end up in Oakland. I don't want to give anything away here. They give up. They end up uniting with a fairly substantial group of like-minded and kindred spirits who band together and who kind of take the next step in making all this happen. So it's kind of a vision of how we as human beings can get this right and can get this right energetically, and how it will play out, and also what this new world's going to look like.
Okay, now that sounds very exciting. You'll have to give me some short answers here.
Where can I give you my website before we run out of time, Mike?
Not quite. No, we've got a couple of minutes left.
Okay. Let's not forget
next
that
week's program as well. But where is your book available from?
Well, it's available on my website, and it's available at Amazon and at Barnes and Noble, and so people, it's not a problem to get it. The best way to get it is to get it from my website. But if people like to do the Amazon, website address is www.jackallis.com. Last name spelled A-L-L-I-S. Jackallis.com. And people can go there, and there's a lot of education there. There's a lot of videos there. There's a lot of articles there. And if people want to learn more about this, there's lots of information there. You can spend a lot of time on my site and have a lot of fun doing it, too. So,
okay. Do you invite people to write you? In other words, do you normally give out your email address?
I'd be happy to give up my email. Again, the people can get all my contact information is on the website. If people want to telephone me, fine. I'm totally open. Anybody who gets the message and wants to talk, hey, I'm open to talking, because you know, that's what it's all about. It's all about connecting with, you know, kindred spirits and getting the message out there.
That's wonderful.
My email address is jack@jackallis.com.
Right.
Jack@jackallis.com.
This will go into the archives anyway for anybody who goes to BBS Radio, so they won't miss out if they didn't get that down. But it's been terrifically interesting to have you on the program, and I've enjoyed our interview, I must say. So thank you very, very much for coming onto the program.
Thank you, Mike. I already knew this, Mike, about you, but obviously also you get it, and that's really neat. And obviously you are one of these kindred spirits that I'm talking about, and I really appreciate the connection you and I've made. This is terrific, and let's keep it.
Absolutely, yes. I thoroughly enjoyed it. Thank you very much, Jay.
Right, thanks, Mike.
Friend, that was a terrific interview. I'll mention very quickly that next week my guest will be Evan Jordan, who has been practicing and teaching psychic work for more than two decades. And she was introduced to her spirit guide, Ish, ISH, through which she can access her psychic abilities. She is able to contact and channel voices and information from the spirit guides of living human beings and animals, as well as those who have passed on. So that should yet again be another very interesting program. So thank you for being with me today. I hope you can make it next week. God bless you all. Thank you.